I'm so excited that we have Innovate Digital Solutions as a sponsor of HeCast this season. Innovate Digital Solutions provides anything that an office might need, hardware, software, IT, copy machines, things like that. They make an office run more smooth, and they're really good at it. But one of the things that I love about Innovate, their founders, Andre and Katia Brasso, they're people that don't just believe it's important to build a strong business, but also to take that success and build the strong community around them. They really have a heart for what HeChanged is doing. People they love have gone through some of the stuff that we talk about on this show. Andre and Katia both believe that you can build a life worth living, and there are these evidence-based solutions that can help build that life. We're so excited to be in partnership with Innovate Digital Solutions, and HeChanged It is better for it, and we hope you will be too. Go to innovate.ca and check them out. I am Mike Chisholm. As always, I am excited to be here. Is that opening okay? As always, I am Mike Chisholm. As always, I'm excited to be here. I should probably mix it up a little bit. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's the right one or not, but it's the current one. And it's true. That's the other thing that's good about it. I am excited to be here. I'm excited for these conversations. I hope that translates. I think it does, probably annoyingly so. But I just can't help it. The fact that we link arms with so many cool people who are willing to tell their stories about their journey. That is such a powerful, powerful communion in my mind. And the fact that when we do this, it just can provide opportunities for others to view or listen to this and maybe examine where they're at and see if they want to get to a better place than they're on track to being right now. And that's really the purpose of HeCast. If you haven't downloaded the HeChanged It app yet, please do. We would love that. Download it, use it, interact with it, that kind of a thing. Even in its current phase, as this podcast is released, HeChanged It's in a current phase, and we're hoping to grow it into a much bigger phase very soon. But in its current phase, it's got a lot of really cool things to it, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Go to HeChangeIt.com. You can see the vision for the company and check out the app, whether it's Apple or Android. The links are available there. Now, today's conversation, I've wanted to do more fitness-based podcasts for a while. Today is a phenomenal guest. Tyler Weiland, a guy from Saskatoon, middle of Canada, I guess not technically the middle, the prairie provinces in Canada. He has been through an amazing journey, and he talks about that journey to where he is now. Right now, successful fitness trainer, owns a gym, getting married right before the this podcast was recorded. He's about to get married. When it is released, he will have been married. Congratulations to you, Tyler and Courtney. But Prairie_Iron is his Instagram handle. Go follow him, Prairie_Iron. And you'll see where he is at, what he does for people. Tyler coming on here and talking about his journey today is nothing short of powerful and astounding. And he really has come from a place that was leading into a really not so good of place. He had a defining moment and he completely changed his life. And to see where he is at now compared to where he was in his 20s is it's a miracle. Some would call it a miracle. And I'm really grateful that he is willing to open up, not just about what he's doing now that's so great, but really the reason that he's doing such great things now is because he remembers where he came from and is willing to share that. And we talked to the word commune and commune with other people and see how it translates to their story and where they're going and where they want to go. So a very, very cool conversation. HeCast, the official podcast of HeChanged It, is proud to present our episode with Tyler Weiland. I'm so excited you're here on HeCast. And there's so much, you know, we hear all the time. I think it's just one of those isms that's out there that fitness is one of those things that can make things better. It can make you feel better. It can make life better. It can give you more strength to deal with the stuff that you're dealing with. We hear this stuff all the time. We've always heard this, but I love your journey and your story into finding out the truth as to that. Like, we hear truths all the time, but until we actually make a decision to kick over and start applying that truth and see how that truth applies to us, sometimes it takes a real journey to get there. safe to say you have gone on that journey to get where you are right now. We're going to talk about your training business and all of the cool things that you're doing now, but we're going to get to that. I want to go back to when you started, because you obviously haven't been the guy who always understood fitness to be a silver bullet that leads to some amazing targets in life. Let's go back a little bit. First off, thank you so much for coming on HeatCast, and thank you for being so willing to share your story.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah?
Yep.
How many people have you told your story to, like, in real life? Does it happen with all your clients? Does it happen with kind of everybody, or is it selective?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm pretty open with my story, because you know, that's one of the things that even got me into the fitness industry is I understand how much our lives are tied in to our health, our mental health, our physical health. And if I can help even just that one person by them seeing that I've been on a similar journey to them, or that I've walked the walk, so to speak, and I can ultimately help them, that's my goal. So I do try and share it as often as I can.
Oh, that's awesome. I appreciate it so much. So, you know, you get a guy who's in front of you, who's kind of lost, and they know that they need to start, you know, they need to make some changes in their life. And I'm certain that you could see that in them. Where do you go back to? Do you go back right to the beginning? Where do you, let's tell our viewers and listeners your story.
Yeah. So as far as how I start with, you know, if a client was sitting in front of me talking to them, it's really, I want to find their why, right? So it's like, why, like, what brought you here? And a lot of times we have to do some digging. We have to go beyond, because, you know, you hear, oh, I want to lose weight. I want to get strong. I want to get fast. I want to be skinny. I want to stop being made fun of. Okay, now we're starting to get to a root, right? And as you keep digging, you find out what brought them to where they're at and how ultimately they want to, what kind of goals they want to accomplish. And then you can really make that path to help them get there. But I find if we stick on the superficial, this is where we end up in the world where we're at, where so many people get excited to go for their goals, but they just don't go beyond that that surface level. Well, that's something that I want to dig deeper in. I want to find that why. And that's where you said kicking it back for me. That's where I go back. I go back to kindergarten, grade one, man. I remember the first time that I was called fat.
Yep.
I remember the first time I started to think, well, am I different? Right. And it was, I was a farm boy. So I was naturally big, and looking back, by no means would I have thought, you know, hey, that's a fat kid.
But in some circles, been viewed as, oh, strong, healthy, like in some circles been viewed exactly the opposite of how in that time and place you made you feel about yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, perspective is everything. That was, it was, and it's, you know, but it started to shape my worldview of where I was at and who I was. And then that's where I found my why. Right, was finding out where it was, where, like, these expectations were put on me. I started to pick up different views from different people. And ultimately, that was where it ended up, kicking off my journey with health and fitness. Or in the beginning, as you mentioned, lack thereof. Because
Go ahead. Please go ahead. I got a question.
Because growing up on the farm, I was always active, right? I was always out there. We were shoveling grain. We were working with animals. We were out in the fields picking rocks, all of these different things that we actually mimic now in a lot of the strongman groups, a lot of the farm work. That's the same stuff. But, you know, ended up growing from there. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there.
No, it's okay. Because we're going to, and by the way, we're going to get to the functional strength mentality of how you do things. I can't wait to talk to you about that. But I'm thinking about back then and how active you are, yet at the same time, you know, as a farm boy, and at the same time, though, somebody calling you fat, that layering, you know, when we start believing some of these things, the layers can start building, and then we start building our life, our personality, our identity around these things, to the point where you became diabetic. How old were you when you became diabetic?
So I was in my early 20s when I was first diagnosed with diabetes.
Safe to say that the fat thing going through your teens, getting you to that point, and that was a result of that?
Yeah. So throughout my teenage years, I just kind of kept gaining weight and, you know, and just kind of took on that persona, right? Where it was just like, you know, it was, I was active on the farm and I was doing a lot of different things for work with that. But I also like to eat. I mean, I think most of us do, you know, and then that emotional crush of food started to come in. And then it was that perpetual circle, right? Where it was like food made me feel better. But then the bigger I got, the worse I felt, you know, because of outside pressures and comments and different things that it kind of led me to that. So, yeah, being diagnosed with diabetes, I wish I could say that that was my wake up call. But that wasn't my wake up call yet. It was at that time I ended up being put on multiple medications. I was on insulin, metformin, Jardiance later on. And just it was so many different pills, which looking back, I'm like, I was in my early 20s. I like that was a ridiculous amount of medication to be on at that time.
Do you can you put yourself back into that guy? You know, you go to another doctor's appointment and they're coming up with a cocktail of things, teaching how to use needles, things like that. Like, can you put yourself back into that place again? And if you could, you know, it's so funny how sometimes to have this wake up call or this lightning bulb moment, whatever you want to call it, you know, all the advice that we could ever be given, all of the common sense platitudes, all of the things, none of them many times lead us to that moment. And if you could go back to that guy who hadn't had that moment yet, but you're in the doctor's, you just come out of the doctor's office and you've had, you know, this medical plan put in front of you as to what your new normal is going to look like. If there was something that you could have said to yourself at that point, what would it have been?
You know, that's a good question and a tough question, because I don't know if there's anything anyone could have said to me to get me to change the path I was on. It had to come from in, right? It had to come from inside, and I had to find that myself. I've always been one of those guys that I got to learn the hard way. I got to figure it out myself. You know, if I did see myself sort of face to face and was trying to get through, it would be one of those where, like, I don't know the exact words I would say, but it would be talking about how the, like, just the fitness aspect, just how much it opens up your life in more than just losing weight, in more than just looking good, which was a lot of the way I had viewed exercise at the time. Exercise and nutrition, that was just to look good. Whereas now I flipped that. I don't actually care how big or small I am, but I want to fuel my body right. I want to be able to do things. I've got daughters now. I want to be able to keep up with them. I want to be able to go outside. I don't want to be exhausted and tired and napping and winded at every moment. I want to be able to do those things. And I think that's the avenue that I would go to my former self, would be talking about how much right now in your 20s is like a debt. You're calling from your future self to use it now in a lot of those ways, when you can actually do the opposite. You can actually start to invest in yourself so that your future is a much brighter future and you can do so many more things. And it's not always playing catch up and sore and pain and that sort of thing.
Oh, that is such a powerful example. The idea that in your 20s, you're, you know, the way that you're living your life currently, you're in debt, but it could be, you could be investing instead. And if you're investing instead, the gifts down the line, the rewards, the you know, the dividends are limitless. What a fantastic analogy. Now, but that's not what happened. You know, you went into that new normal. Addiction shows up, and substances and things like that. But are you open to talking about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of that progression where it was, you know, it was, I was using food to cope. I was using food to kind of comfort myself. And then food didn't do it. Right. It didn't hit that same dopamine release and I wasn't getting the same things anymore. Yeah. And then it started to go. I actually had went through, a bad breakup, I was engaged to a girl out in BC and then that fell apart and I was left kind of broken and not sure where to go because I thought I could see the rest of my life in front of me. And then suddenly that was gone. So the first thing that I had turned to was alcohol. I hadn't drank. I didn't touch a drop of alcohol until after I was 21 years old.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of the tipping point for me, and started drinking, switched everything from where I was at into started bouncing, bartending, got into that scene. Mm-hmm. And then it was the point where there wasn't a day I didn't go without a drink. And then kept going. And eventually at some point the alcohol didn't do it. And then drugs started to make their way into it as well. And I know not everyone ends up with a good story from addiction. I don't even mean good story, because I wouldn't wish it on anyone what I went
through. Happy ending of any sort.
But yeah. Happy ending. Yeah, that's a better word. Is that, you know, it's like jumping into those things just really opened my eyes to how much people end up struggling and how it just keeps drawing you in. And what I was saying was that it was like, I'm glad that I was still able to function. Right. It wasn't a point where I completely destroyed my life. And part of that was the supports I had, family and friends that kept me going. But I could have. There were times where I was close to living on the street, and it was getting close to that sometime. But, you know, I was lucky enough to make that through to be able to be here and share my story with you today.
You know, it's funny. You think about that 21 or 20 something year old before, you know, this pathway happened, and you talk about the investment of what it could look like in the good, but it's also what it could look like in the bad if it goes either way. And I, from what you're telling me here, the 20 something year old wouldn't have been able to fathom either one of those scenarios, you know, the good or the bad at that point. And I love how you talked about how it doesn't do it after a while. And anything to do with addictive tendencies, from my experience and the people I've talked to, it's a bottomless hole. Like, you think about people who are gambling. I know people who are gambling addicts that have hit massive, massive jackpots. And yet it's still not enough, you know, and whether it is, you know, the ultimate meal or the ultimate, experience while on substances, things like that, you will never, ever, ever get to a satisfaction level. That'll never happen. It's a bottomless pit, and you keep trying to fill it with these things, but it will never, ever fill up. And it takes, you know, I'm also glad that you mentioned that it took a breakup to do it. Many times, you know, we can function, but it's when the catalyst shows up. What's the thing that causes, you know, these behaviors to intensify or to get to that rock bottom place? What was your rock bottom place?
You know, there's probably a couple different ones along the way.
Yeah.
You know, I again, it wasn't just like one. It was like kind of a series of things strung together. You know, I remember... when I really realized I needed to make a change was when it was like, I was ending up waking up in cities that I didn't know how I got there. I woke up in Regina, no idea how I got there. I woke up in Winnipeg, no idea how I got there. Woke up in Vancouver once, had no idea how I had got from Saskatchewan to Vancouver, other than vague memories along the way. Because it was that binge that I was going through and couldn't end up remembering. And that was when I realized, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm getting older. I'm getting into my later 20s now.
Yep.
Is this what I want? This isn't where I saw my life. But then it was that constant struggle. Cause at that point, even once you realized it, it's really hard to get out of those. And we've mentioned too about, you know, stories that were told or like personalities we take on. I felt that was a big thing with the addictions as well. I remember having conversations and being told, well, you're the alcoholic, you're the drug addict, you're the bouncer, you're the like, and you're the single guy. Of course you're getting into fights. Of course. And I remember that, having that conversation with one of my buddy's girlfriends at the time. And I was like, well, how many fights have I been in? And she said, well, I can't think of any. And I was like, well, then why do you keep saying I'm a fighter? And don't get me wrong, with drugs and alcohol, there were times I got into fights. But it was this personality that was put on me because of the stuff that I was in. And I accepted it. And I started to live that. And I started to realize, I started to act those out in my life and become that more and more. And I and that was, I guess, to say the rock bottom. When I strung those things together, that I was like, I was becoming the person that people were saying I was, and that wasn't who I wanted to be.
I appreciate this vulnerability so far under the armor because it is such an example. Because the label that we put on ourselves, including, by the way, one that we decide to put on ourselves, we can be that person. And just so few people in this day and age, or there's so many people, I should say, that don't necessarily do that work to try and figure out what label they would like to be. You know, what label would you like to be known as? What would you like to? And you can be that, you 100%. Know, you can, and you could be anything. And many times we do just accept a label from somebody else. And for whatever reason, we give permission. Oh, okay. These people think this about me. Therefore, I must be this. Therefore, I'm going to live mm-hmm. like this. When the reality is, if we actually do the work to figure out who we are and what label we would like to put on ourselves, we can actually apply that label ourselves and just start living that way. And if people don't accept that, great. Those are people that we want to kind of push aside as to how much time and of our vulnerability we give them, and find people that are more in our tribe that do accept that and support and want to help us grow that label on ourselves. Safe to say that that's your experience?
Yes, absolutely. And that was really where things started to turn around, was when I had that, call it an epiphany if you want,
yep.
but I had that moment, I was like, something needs to change. And I realized that the friends who I really cared about and loved, I yeah. had to start to pull away from, because we were all stuck in that cycle. And I had to find people I wanted to surround myself with, that I wanted to be more like them, not like we were all trauma bonded because we went through the same addictions and issues, right?
Yeah.
So that was what I had started to do. And it took a while. You had to work through it. It's hard once you're in those situations not to fall back into old patterns, right? And,
yeah.
And things that even though it made you feel terrible the next day, it comforted you in the moment. It could numb what was going on in here and in here. And you didn't have to face it. So it was really just learning to face those things and make some of those hard choices, which is tough, you know, especially when you're dealing with addiction and depression and anxiety yeah. and all of those things are rearing their ugly head.
I've got so many directions that I could go in with this particular part of the conversation. There's one in particular, though, that I think it's worth noting, and that's the whole crab in the bucket analogy. And this is a great litmus test if you, the viewer, the listener, are going through something right now where you want to make your life better, you want to improve yourself, whatever that is. Maybe you're starting a side business. Maybe you are starting on a fitness journey. Maybe you're learning how to play a musical instrument or a new sport or something. A great litmus test is you know, the crabs in the bucket. Where that analogy comes from is you got a bucket full of crabs, or at least the way I've heard it, you got a bucket full of crabs, and the crabs don't want to be in there because, you know, instinctively they know that that's probably a demise situation, or for whatever reason. And so the crab starts to climb out of the bucket, and it starts to get out of the bucket. And what will happen is the other crabs will actually get together, and they will pull that crab back into the bucket. They'll pull it back. And so many times in life, a good test to see if people in your life truly care about you or truly want you to win, when you are changing yourself, are they cheering you, or are they trying to pull you back in the bucket? And you talk about trauma bonded people. You talk about people who are okay with the current situation. I've experienced this when I made a career change. I started building a career on the side of my 9-to-5. As I did that, there were people in my life who were working at that 9-to-5 that were supportive. Go, Mike, go. You can do this. Come on, go build a better life. And then there were some people who were like, why? Why are you doing that? Like they'd kind of throw static at me, and they'd try and keep me in the bucket because I think it's because when you make a change like that, sometimes the people around you, they feel like you're throwing shade on what it is that they're doing, and they're not doing the introspective work. They're not making that decision. They're thinking everything's fine. And when somebody says that they're fine isn't fine, they take it personally and they try and pull people back. I don't know if you, and this dovetails onto the next question. I know that fitness for many people can be the silver bullet. It can be the thing that stops them from gambling, that stops them from drinking, that stops them. Some people go like full stop because of fitness, they can stop some of these tendencies. Some people, it takes a 12 step. It takes baby steps to find the fitness, and it's an evolution into that. So I just wanted to bring up that crab in the bucket analogy. And then I wanted to ask you about that. Did you go right into fitness, or was there a program or something involved to help you find it?
Yeah. So the crab in the bucket, that's a great analogy. I loved it. And then as far as, you know, what I did, it wasn't straight into fitness, because I have some friends and I know some people that, yeah, that's how they got out. It was almost an addiction swap, so to speak, where it was like a healthier habit versus an unhealthier negative habit. For me, I went through a lot more of the personal growth side of things than swapping it through. It was a lot of that self work. See, who did I want to be? Where did I want to go? And then I realized that fitness was a part of that. I realized that I didn't feel good. And when I got into fitness, it wasn't how I looked, it how I felt. It was just, I was tired all the time. I was, I would sleep, and part of this was, you know, diabetes, but also depression. I'd sleep 16 hours a day. And I didn't have the urge to do much of everything, and it just kind of kept spiraling. So when I was doing that work, I realized I needed to not only work on improving my mind, I needed to work on improving my physical body as well, because they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And it's like so many things in life, diet and exercise, you can't divorce those two, right? And it's the same sort of thing here. It's like that mind and that physical, they affect each other so much that you need to work on those. And so that was where it started to progress. I realized I needed to get healthier. And then the kind of the catalyst or the trigger for that was when I ended up tearing my ACL. And that was kind of the tail end. I ended up tearing it because I was drunk and I went down three stairs, and I was over 365 pounds at the time, and my leg just twisted and tore through. And I didn't stop drinking. I stayed out the rest of that night, tore an ACL, hopped on one leg at the time. But like I said, like all these little, the rock bottoms were multiple little rock bottoms that ended up leading, like, hey, this isn't the way I need to go. Because again, like looking back, I laugh. I'm like, really? Like you needed to drink so bad that night that you had to stay out and look like, I mean, I can only imagine what people saw, this very large man hopping on one leg around just to drink. But, right. It was like, so that was after I tore my ACL was what brought me into the fitness side of things. I needed to recover. I needed to fix that. And change my life. Right. So, that it all kind of came together for me, as well when I lost my license. So, I ended up,
so that was a wake up moment right there.
Yeah. I ended up getting to the point where, again, it was another breakup, and I was driving back, and I was bawling, and I was talking on my phone, and I got pulled over, and I had had some drinks earlier in that day. And I, at the time, didn't think, like, this was not one of those times where I was hammered out of my tree and disappearing to a different city. This was literally, it had been 6 hours prior that I had had a drink, maybe two, and then went through this breakup and then left. And I was driving back home, and then that was when I got pulled over, and then that was when it just kind of all, and as hard as that experience was, even talking about it now, because I don't like thinking about who I was then and even being in that position, when I lost my license and got that DUI, that's I'm not proud of that moment, and I really wish I could take that back, because for me it ended okay, but I know for a lot of other people it doesn't end okay, and I hate that I even contributed in any part to that. But with that said, that was where it just, again, everything kept moving me towards, it was, you know, a boom or bust, right? Like, I was like, I was either going to end up hard in the rocks on the streets, living a completely different life than I am now, or turning it around. Yeah. And like I said, all of that added together to turning it around. And fitness was a big part of that afterwards. Once I got in and started rehabbing that knee.
One thing I love about where we're at right now is you in the present is you looking back at that moment. And sometimes the moments that we're not proud of are the, it's important to not like to put them into context and not make that our identity, just like what we've talked about so far. Yeah. But at the same time, to also not forget, because it's a marker. Like I'm listening to you and looking at you right now, and I find it very hard to believe that it would be even possible for you to slip and get back to that place. But if you did start to, that feeling of not forgetting that moment, yeah. Is kind of that marker. It's that rocket fuel for you never to do that again, because you do introspectively look at that moment so rawly and personally. And it's you know, when I asked about the rock bottom moment, it feels like right there. I always say that a rock bottom moment is the moment that you experience the moment before you make a decision to go a different direction. And it feels like that might be very close to your moment. You said it was rehab that put you down the fitness journey?
So it was rehabbing that knee. So yeah. So once I ended up getting that surgery, because this was all, yeah. I'm terrible with dates and years, but it was all around that same time, yep. that everything was kind of happening. Yep. And then that was when my surgeon had told me that was blunt. And he's like, look, man, he's like, we can do the surgery now, but if we do the surgery now, that puts all the weight on your other leg. And then there's a high probability your life is going to be surgery after surgery, cortisone shot after cortisone shot. And just that's your life. And you're in your 20s, right? Late 20s at the time. And that started to get through to me. Was I was like, whoa, like how long am I going to live? Am I going to live till I'm 40? Am I going to live till I'm 60? What kind of life do I want down that road? Yeah. And back then I didn't really think I was going to live past 40, to be honest with you. I was falling apart. I struggled with addiction. I was depressed. I didn't see another, 10, 15, 20 years in my life. Yeah. But that once he said that, I realized, I was like, okay, well, something has to change. And then that was when he said there was option number two, which was if I were to go lose the weight first and then have the surgery,
right?
Which also seemed like an insurmountable challenge too, because how do you exercise when you've got no knee? Right?
Yep.
How do you do those things? Yep. He ended up setting me up with a brace. I ended up going out. And again, like I said, I'm the guy, I need to learn the hard way sometimes. At first, I didn't get a trainer. I didn't get a coach. I dove in, learned about nutrition, taught myself, switched over and started just all my education started to gear towards health and fitness. And then that started to grow. And it started really small. I remember being at, working out some small different gyms, some big box gyms occasionally, and just doing what I could. And I had, at the time, I had no idea what I was doing. And then I learned by doing and then realized this worked, this didn't work. Eventually I did start to get a coach. That was more once I got into powerlifting. Yeah. I rehabbed that knee, got back into it. And then I decided to do, we had a race called the Dirty Donkey. That's what it was called. And it was a mud run. I don't even know if they're still around. I think there might be one in Winnipeg, but it was an awesome name. But yeah, it's this 5K mud run. And after I had my knee surgery.
5K mud run. Oh, my legs are right now just thinking about that. Oh.
So rehabbed it. And man, and it was awesome. And I loved it. And then that was really what started to get me into things. I got into obstacles. I'm not a runner. I'm not a big, just slug it out long distance. But you give me things to do, climb a hill, throw a spear, pick up a rock, all that kind of stuff in between to break up the running. I love doing that. So that's kind of what got me into that. And then ultimately got me into powerlifting as well.
Okay, so before we get to that, because now we're on the journey, like you get to powerlifting, it's like, okay, now we're on the journey where this guy is like, okay, he's got it, he's buying into it, he's got some great habits that are happening. When you were just trying it out for yourself, at that moment, were you starting to get the dopamine hits that exercise brings and the positive benefits of that? Did you see, as you were, you know, stumbling forward, trying to figure out your stuff, doing your research, like you, it sounds like your heart was into it. You just were doing it alone at that point, which again, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's you knowing yourself and just starting to do that. Were you starting to drop weight? Were you starting to get to the point where you understood the power of fitness and what it could be in your life?
So yeah, so that came along. I'm going to be honest with you. In the beginning, I hated every moment of it.
Absolutely. Yep.
I had to get beyond motivation. I had to get into the discipline of it. I had to plan.
Yeah.
I had to,
beyond motivation.
Yeah.
You had to move to discipline. And I think those two things are, if you could talk about that a little bit, I think that would really, really benefit people.
Yeah. And so that was, because again, like I started so many times, and I do get when people talk about how many times they've tried and started, because I was there. I did it too. Even growing up, I remember my mom having Slim Fast, and we had these cookies. They were like meal replacement cookies. As a kid, I swear they were like 1,000 calories a cookie. But as a kid, it was like, it was a cookie. So you'd
eat five of them.
Yeah. I digress a little bit, but that was always starting, trying these different fads and doing these different things. And I had to get past the motivation, because that's what motivation brought me, was the quick fixes, the how do I do this fast, the how do I get there. I was motivated to do it. But as soon as it started taking longer, I had to get into the discipline.
Yeah.
And I had to realize I don't like doing this, but I do like what I know my future can look like, right? So again, pulling from that future, perfect future that I was looking for, and starting to build that. So that was where, I had to meal prep and meal plan. I had to plan it out the week before and cook it all on that Sunday, because if I didn't, I was eating out. I was going down to the to the convenience store and just buying junk. And that's what it would be. I had to have it planned. I had to have it regimented. I also had to do the same thing with my exercise. I had to know where my gym was, what the route was, what I was doing for not just that day, but that week, so that I could plan and then hit it. And yeah, there were times that life would throw wrenches into that and I had to readjust. But I had to stick as close as I could to those things to get there, because the motivation wasn't there. I would have much sooner stayed at home continuing to watch Battlestar Galactica and eating pizza.
So you're learning these things about yourself. You're getting some of these habits going, understanding that it needs to go beyond the I'm going to do this and actually do it and learn how to do it all the way along. And you start to find some success. You get this 5K done. How much you dropped weight by that point, I assume, from where you were?
Yeah, by that time I was dry. I dropped because I ended up, I guess to go back, before I got the surgery, because the 5K was after the surgery, I dropped the weight before. So
you did drop a bunch of weight before. That was
So I had dropped down from, I believe it was, I was at 365 at my heaviest.
Yeah.
And then I started rehabbing the knee, started continuing to lose weight, and then I can't remember exactly where it was, but I remember I got down to 268 pounds at my lightest, I believe it was. Yeah. And then that was kind of where I stuck until I got into powerlifting. Then I gained back a little bit because I wanted to bulk.
Well, it's different though.
Yeah, it is. and it was a different time too. A lot, when I look at it now, I see a lot more focus on the health side of things. Whereas when I started, everyone I looked up to was mass moves mass. So you need to be big to be strong. And now we're really coming a long way in the science of it, that you don't have to be this crazy mass monster to be strong, at least for everyday life and the things you need to do.
Well, yeah, and like I say, we are going to get to functional strength because I'm fascinated by the movement, and finally that, well, the movement, no pun intended, actually. I'm fascinated by where that's coming in fitness and how that's evolving, and I can't wait to get into this stuff with you. But at the same time, you're powerlifting, you're you know, finding identity in that, new identity. All the rest of your life, is that is the rest of your life, like relationships or things like that, are they starting to fall into line as well at this point? Or had you traded a bad habit for a better habit and you still hadn't quite gone down that path?
Yeah. So as far as that went, everything did start to change. It was around that time, right before I got into powerlifting, actually. And it was after... So after my knee surgery, before the powerlifting, I ended up meeting my wife. So this was 10 years ago, 10 years ago on Friday.
Yeah, she's not Friday. Your wife yet.
Yeah. Oh, this yeah. Very... Sorry, you're right. My partner.
She will be by the time this thing's out. You're getting married on Friday. Congratulations.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much. Yeah. And the awesome that we're getting married on our 10 year anniversary. So of when we met. So that's...
Where'd you meet her?
You know what? We met online. And, yep. And then, yeah, she ended up, I had lost my license. At the time, I am thankful for my partner, for Courtney, and how much she saw the potential in me. I had no license. I lived in an apartment. I was bouncing from different security jobs at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I look and I'm like, I don't know, well, why me? But I knew right there that it was going to be something special. And she actually was one that, I have to attribute a lot to her, because when I didn't have the confidence, she helped lift me up. When I didn't know the path, she helped shine the light on the path. We've had this conversation before, and we would never say that we saved each other, because I don't think that that's a healthy way to look at it, but we did help each other and we did complement each other. And I do have to acknowledge and recognize how important that was to my journey, because mm-hmm. I might not be a strength coach. I might not own my own gym if it wasn't for her, because I was going down the route of social work at the time. Yep. I wanted to get into psychology. I wanted to do social work. I was doing that kind of stuff too. But then she was like, why you keep like your heart doesn't seem in that. That doesn't seem to be like what you want to do and what you're passionate about. Why don't you look into personal trainer, strength coach, that kind of stuff? And so, yeah, so that was what kind of gave me that kick. And I was like, okay. But then, of course, I was like, well, I need to plan out this big journey and I need to. And she was like, no, just go do it.
Way.
Yep. She's like, just do it. She's like, here you go. And pushed me. So, I had been helping friends out at the time, but then I went and I got my certification my certification with CanFit Pro. And mm-hmm. then it grew from there. I ended up getting a lot more. I got my exercise therapy certification and following all of those different routes to ultimately lead where I am. But she was the catalyst that pushed me towards that, because I had it in my head. I had to be in university. I had to be going for this psych degree that I had wanted to get years before. And don't get me wrong, I still enjoyed it, but it just, you know, when it's just not the right fit,
it's not the right fit. Yeah. Yep.
And so that was also when I ended up starting shortly afterwards, ended up working at a big box gym here in Saskatoon. And I applied. My daughter was about to be born, and I didn't think I was going to get the job. I just was throwing out a resume to see what was out there and what it looked like. Yep. And the next thing I knew, I had a job at this big box gym. My daughter was going to be born 20 days after my start date. And I was like, oh my goodness. But it was awesome. It was great. I found that passion and that dedication, and I wouldn't have found it if it wasn't for her.
You know, the journey is, we've talked many times on this show about the journey and how the journey is so underrated when you are at the beginning of it, and you don't don't even know what it is. You know, you make the decisions that you make many times based on the destination that you're hoping for at that time, not even taking into account where the journey is going to lead you. And your journey has led you to some amazing things. It's so cool. You end up at this box gym. When did you know that you were going to strike out on your own? How long were you there? Were you already starting to formulate that that's where the journey was going to go? How did that happen?
It took a while. So from the moment I started there, I knew I wanted to do my own thing. I had even tried for the first bit to try and figure out what it was like, or try to do it on my own and just from my home. And, you know, I didn't have a facility. And then that led to me applying. I got the position. I was surprised I was excited. And then I did that I was a personal trainer there for a year. Yep. And then I moved up from there into the assistant fitness manager position. Yeah. And so I started doing that for about another year. And then for the next 6 years after that, because I was there a total of 8.5 years, I ended up managing the personal training team. So moved through things pretty quickly. It was awesome. I had such an amazing team again that helped me out to be that manager, and I'm so thankful for that team. And we did some amazing things, and we helped some amazing people. And it was nice to be able to celebrate that with them too.
Okay, so that sounds pretty secure. That sounds pretty good. Entrepreneurship is a different animal entirely. And there are some people who have journeys. Like you say, I feel like I've lived a few lives. I think that people are starting to understand this now, because those who journey into entrepreneurship, whether it's at the very beginning of that journey or it's mid-step or whatever, that's a whole nother journey. That's a whole nother animal. And so how did that jump happened? And had you learned the lessons that you needed to understand about, okay, change, you know, I got to be a self-starter. I got to you know, create new habits. I got to learn a whole bunch of new skills that the corporation kind of took care of that I was working for. And also jumping out of the security of the certainty into the pool of uncertainty. Was that a hard transition? Did you build it on the side, or did you have to kind of cut ties and then do that?
It was definitely a tough decision. It probably was a year, maybe even 2 years in the making. Yep. Where I knew I wasn't going to be there forever, but I really, really liked the team that was there, that we had grown together with, that we had developed. And I didn't want to leave that team. On the flip side, you said stable, and coming out of COVID, right? It was like I was there, and I had a job, and I had a salary, and I was like, well, what else am I gonna do? I've got 3 daughters at home. I need to provide for them, so I stuck with it, and I don't regret sticking with it. Although it was, again, going back to what I talked about, when you love something, but it's just not the right fit. Mm-hmm. And that's where I started to get in the last year here in 2023. I just started to realize that it wasn't the right fit for me anymore. And part of that was developments in family. My parents ended up getting quite sick. I ended up doing a lot of care for them and helping them. And my employer at the time was absolutely supportive, which I really appreciated. But I also knew that couldn't go on forever. Right. And so it just, you know, it just, whatever you want to call it, if you want to call it fate, karma, God, universe, whatever it was, a lot of that's actually been in my life, where it's just things kind of have just opened up and there's a path. I can either go this way or go that way.
Divine timing shows up many times.
Exactly. So that was where an opportunity to start my own gym came up. And I fully anticipated it was not going to happen. I ended up calling Courtney and told her about it. And I was waiting for that, you know, but just right now, it's just not going to be the time. And I got the opposite. She was, well, we can't pass that up.
Oh.
Right?
So, yes. Yep. Awesome.
And so then we decided, we were like, okay, well, what does that look like? And I realized that it was that now was the time. Mm-hmm. I still wasn't sure. I still wasn't sure if that's what I was going to do. So I ended up taking some time and did some soul searching on like, is this, I've got a family to take care of. There's been some time for everybody, tough times, some turmoil, where the current state of the world is in. I was like, is this the right time? And everything kept pointing to this is what I needed to do. For myself, for my family, even for my team, it was time to move on, and it was time to let them grow and to let me grow. And so that's what I did. I ended up stepping away from that.
Any of them come with you?
That.
I gotta ask the question.
They did not. I'm on my own here with that. There are some other trainers that I'm starting to work with. With the ones that are still, they're still at that gym and they're still quite successful. And I really, you know, absolutely love that for them and wish them the best. The other thing is I don't want anyone to come after me. I'm not going to steal any of my great trainers, because I don't want, I don't want to affect their careers or mine per se.
Well, this is I'm so pleased for you as to being to seeing where you are in your journey right now. And I do want to shift gears a little bit and talk about the power of fitness, because I'm really glad at the beginning of this conversation you brought up the distinction that like fitness is good. It is good. But swapping a bad habit for a better habit, okay, yeah, there's merit to that, and I do understand that, but at the end of the day, doesn't really open up the full experience of what fitness can bring and how it can be such a catalyst for so many positive changes for you, your life being a prime example of that. Let's go into discipline of fitness a little bit and talk about that. There's a lot of guys out there who, again, have heard it, understand it, already believe it, but haven't been moved to make a decision to do it. I want to talk about that because, you know, success is sitting on the other side of that decision with some action attached to it. And there's a lot of guys who want to make that move. This gets to a client who sits down in front of you, you go back to their why, you know, kind of bringing it full circle. Let's talk a little bit about fitness itself and the disciplines that you teach, and take it from there.
Absolutely. So, you know, my approach when it comes to fitness is like, I want you to enjoy it. Now, I know you're not always going to enjoy it. I don't always enjoy it. But you should. There's so many different avenues out there in fitness that you can go, that it's my belief you should find something that you enjoy. That's also why I believe and I promote other trainers that may or may not work with me, because I know that it's like, my goal here is not just for me to take all the clients and have the biggest piece of the pie. My goal is to help people. And so that's why I encourage people to find what is their passion. What do they like doing? Is it skiing? Is it swimming? Is it power lifting? Is it running? Is it hiking? Right? It doesn't have to be traditional exercising in gym. Is it the pickleball craze that seems to be sweeping everywhere now?
That's everywhere. Holy smokes.
Right. But whatever it is, if you enjoy it and it gets you out and active, it doesn't have to be traditional gym exercising. Now, with that said, that's mostly what I specialize in, is I specialize in the actual gym itself. Strength training, hypertrophy training, that kind of stuff, and focus on that. And same sort of thing when it comes to cardio. I like to implement a variety of different things to strengthen the heart. So not just one modality, but looking at multiples to well-round things. Because the way I look at it is, when you're in fitness, what are you training for? And yes, I've got some athletes, they're specifically training for something. Yep. But not all my clients are athletes. In fact, most of them aren't.
Yeah.
So what are they training for? They're training for life. So I'm going to take this opportunity. I had a client where when she first came to me, she wanted to lose weight. She just was like, I just want to be skinny. And she started with me, and I knew her why, when from talking, she didn't actually just want to be skinny. and her why, it was all wrapped up around that why. But when we started working out, we focused on some strength training components. And we changed her cardio from running to some sleds and battle ropes. She was doing, she ended up doing push-ups. First time she did full-on push-ups. Oh, that was awesome. And then she, so as she got into it, she started to get better and she started to do more and more strength training. And then I, she was a pharmacist and she ended up going to this pharmacy gala and she had this red dress that she always wanted to fit in. Mm-hmm. And when she put it on, she was like, I have curves. And she's like, I've never had curves like that before. She's like, her weight on the scale was heavier than what it was when we had started, but she looked like what she want, like what she pictured in her head, she would look like if she lost weight. So that was an amazing win for her. And absolutely love that. But the part of that story that I liked even more was when she told me about the time that she went camping with her husband and her dad. And her husband and her dad had put the kayak on top of the vehicle and had strapped it in. And they went up there and then they were unloading their their other boat or whatever, the trailer or whatever they were doing. And she had asked them for help to undo, to take the kayak down. And they said, well, just wait. And she was like, well, if I'm going to the gym, why can't I do this myself? So she unstrapped this kayak from the roof, lifted it down, handled it all by herself. The smile on her face when she told me that story was insane. And her, the reaction from her father and her husband were shocked. They were like, how, we couldn't get it up there by ourselves. How did you get it down and do this all? And she was so ecstatic. And that's another reason why I do it, is finding out like you can do things that you didn't think you could do. And that's the amazing thing of fitness, is that you're training for life. You're training for those stories. You're training to do things that you thought you never really could.
Training for life is such a, it brings so much possibility. Because, you know, I've listened to people say that they're working out and they don't call it working out. They call it training. It's like, okay, well, it's such a different connotation. Then when you add that for life in there, boy, is it different. I've got a granddaughter who is like my absolute world. And it's funny. I started working out. My wife is a beast. She's an absolute beast. She's a power lifter. She loves, you know, lifting heavy weights and building. He changed it and building this thing is a really stressful thing. Like building a startup, as you know, anybody who started up a business, as you know, startups are like, wow. And she's been building this thing for 4.5, 5 years. And so she started going to the gym a couple of years ago and really taking out a lot of the stresses that she feels on that equipment, on those weights, on whatever it is that she's doing that day. Simultaneously, my granddaughter is getting older and she's running around the playground. I see her 4 or 5 days a week and I love running around with her. Well, I found when she hit about 4 that, and I mean, you've said it yourself, I want to be able to keep up with my kids. I realized, oh man, the places that she's leading me around, just a simple park playground. I'm huffing and puffing. It's about a year ago I made the decision to start going with my wife and just shadowing her. And I'm a completely different man now when it comes to that. Like when my granddaughter's running around, I can run with her. Training for life. That's a major thing to train for right there. Like something like that is such a bonus when you can take something that you're doing because you know it's the right thing to do, but add a piece of functional, real life moment to it. Let's talk about you. Functional strength is something that you really are a big believer in. Is that fair to say?
So I always want whatever that. So there's different definitions to different people in my view of what functional strength is.
Perfect.
For me, when I define functional strength, I mean functional strength as in it transfers into something you have to do. Right. So it's like, so to me, it's like if you need to in the gym, if you come in and train the squat, that ultimately is a functional movement because you need to sit in and out of a chair when you get older. You need to be, you know what I mean? You need to be able to get in and out of a car and then you start to transfer those movements. Well, what do those movements look like? Right. Yep. So that's where I see that crossover. I do know there are some people that define functional strength as some very interesting, strange movements sometimes. But that's kind of a different, a different topic.
That one there is like more like the little movements, right? The little, the movements in between the big, like the small stuff in between the big stuff, right? Is that the, okay.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. And it's great. I think it's like, I think it's a great modality. But that's, I find that's not where most lifestyle clients are starting. People don't want to come in and do a lot of those movements.
They don't want to train with a mace. They don't want to train with a,
yeah. So, and that's, but I also love those things too. Right. So, you know, that's where I do, you just mentioned mace. That's one of the things that I do train with because it's amazing for your core. And I think again, that falls into my functional where it's like, you need that strong core for everyday life. So that's where, you know, with Pit Fitness as well, what we do here is we try and do everything for life and we use different modalities, and go from there.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. So yeah, let's do that. And I mean, I time gets slippery when we do these things here. We've been here almost an hour already. It's pretty crazy how fast it can go by. You know what? I'm going to out you. I'm doing it, Tyler. I'm going to out you. This is your very first podcast.
It is. Yes. This is my very first one.
Not going to be your last, my friend. I hope that there are people out there who see what it is that you're doing, who understand and are impacted by the power of your story and they bring you on their shows to do that. I know already social media is a huge component in being a business owner, that sort of a thing. This is something you could lean into. You got a lot of power. And not just the power of your body, which is obviously formidable, but you've got a lot of power in your delivery, in your story itself. And I'm just so grateful for how you, are just living your life, but inspiring people at the same time, Tyler. Thank you. it's really amazing to see how you're doing that simply with your journey. And just saying who you are and what you know and what you've learned along the way, exactly the message of He Changed It, by the way, you know, the app is set up where people can take something that they need and leave something that they know. And that's the whole goal of it. And so you're living that. And so I just want to say thank you so much for that. If people want to connect with you, obviously just from the inspiration and whatnot, social media, do you do remote stuff as well? Like what's part of your, tell us a little bit about how to connect with you and what's available.
Absolutely. So, you know, as of right now, the best way to connect with me, is most likely through Instagram. So at @prairie_iron, is the best way to get a hold of me, for right now. I'm working on a website right now and getting that up. Again, with me just being open here for a couple months, there's so much more to do. But to answer your question, yes, I do work with people, like I do some online training, and program for people. So I do that in conjunction with my one-on-one personal training and my small group training.
And so people can get a hold of you through Instagram if they're wanting to make a decision and they feel like that connection through the ones and zeros here.
Absolutely. The other option they could do is prairieirontraining@gmail.com. If they prefer.
Is the underscore in there? Prairie Iron or all
it's
one
just
word?
All one word. prairieirontraining@gmail.com. That's the email to get a hold of me. If you prefer that over Instagram, I know not everyone uses Instagram. People have moved to TikTok and some people are still stuck on Facebook. So I totally get it. Send me an email and we can definitely connect that way too.
This has really been a lot of fun talking with you today. I want to talk about your marriage that's coming up. You know, Courtney, you have never, like, whether it's in your bio, whether it's, you all are proud of this partnership that you have and where you guys have been at. The idea that your partner, said, well, you can't pass that up. We can't pass that up. Yeah. You know, that right there is a telling. That's a telling thing about your relationship. You're about to get married. How are you feeling? To me, it just feels like the bow on an already very well wrapped present. That's what this feels like. Are the girls excited? Are you excited? How's the prep going? It's literally 2 days away and you're doing this podcast with us. Thank you for that. Talk a little bit about what's about to happen for you.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously I'm beyond excited and I like the way you put it is it's kind of the bow on it. Because I mean, we'll see once Friday comes. I'm not too nervous. I'm not too stressed. We've been together 10 years on Friday. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that this is a big change, but it's that bow or that cherry on top. It's just kind of finishing off, solidifying, what we already know with each other and in our hearts. Just kind of going from there.
How many girls you got and how are they feeling? There you go.
Yeah. The girls, I've got three. My oldest, all of them are absolutely excited for it. The oldest is always talking about how she's the maid of honor. And then, of course, the sisters bicker on who's the, yeah. But they're loving it. They're actually, well, they're in school, but Courtney is making cheesecake for the wedding. I was surprised, but she's making her own desserts for it. It feels great, man. It feels, I don't feel, a buddy texted me actually right before the podcast. I was like, are you nervous? And I'm not really nervous. It's just when it's the right thing, it's the right thing. And it was kind of just like starting the business, just like so many different other areas of my life. When I knew it was what it needed to be done, It didn't stress me out, and
it's exciting. It's just not all nervous, excitement. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Big wedding?
Not crazy big. I guess that depends on your definition. Right. We've got about 90-ish people coming, so
there's some moving parts there. There's some planning that goes with 90 people. That's for sure.
So we're keeping it around that, and then it's all here in Saskatoon, which is awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. Looking forward to celebrating with everybody, and it's going to be good. I do need to finish my vows. So that's the last thing on my agenda, I think, here that needs to go into the planning. But
Well, that to me, the hardest part about that is just going to be figuring out exactly what points you want to include. You've already included in this conversation so many things, whether it's it's her seeing you maybe for what you could be versus mm-hmm. what you are at the very beginning. The encouragement she's given you along the way, the blessings of the three girls that she's given you, my gosh, and this beautiful, boy, you got a lot to work with in these vows. You got so much that you can do. I imagine that the hardest part is probably editing it down to what, the chief points, the ones at the very top are going to be.
You nailed it.
Oh man, I couldn't be happier for you.
Thank you.
I certainly hope, one of the things that we're doing with HeCast here is trying to build these connections, because the goal of He Changed It is to become a worldwide app that so many people use and an ecosystem for folks who have had a journey that they can go into, and they can help inspire others and all of that sort of stuff. That's what He Changed It is all about. We're certainly grateful for this friendship that we're creating with you, Tyler. And I can't thank you enough for taking time to come on to HeCast. I'm already tying it down that you'll come on again, maybe a year from now or whatever, once you've been into the marriage, into the business, and we want to see the evolution and the progression. But either way, we couldn't be more excited for you and your future, where you've come from, but more importantly, where you're going. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come on to HeCast today, Tyler.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity. And I agree with you. Time is like, I can't believe that hour has flown by already. and we're here. And yeah, I do hope that there's an opportunity to come back, because I would love to talk more specifically and dive into the men's mental health aspect and dealing with depression through my addictions and through those things. Because I really think there are a lot of people, like, not that I'm the end all of it, but I know from talking to people that when you realize there are other men out there who have walked a similar journey or who have done similar things and feel similar ways, how much it can really open it up. And that's one of the reasons why I'm an open book, and I talk about everything that I've been through, even though I am not proud of everything I've been through, because I want to help people realize that they can open up and they can be vulnerable. And I think that's really, really important for men's mental health right now. That it's not just lip service of you can talk, but actually having men step up and talk to each other and connect, I think is probably the bigger thing too, more than just talking into an echo chamber. And that's one of the reasons why I'm on the app myself. And I absolutely love it. Just the access that I see to the different articles, the interactions with the people on the app. And I'm looking forward to seeing it grow too.
Oh, well, thank you. I can't thank you enough for that. And the team is going to be ecstatic to hear that endorsement and those words of encouragement. Thank you so much for that. And I got to tell you, you know, at the end of this conversation, you know, I think if you could have shown, like, the power of story is so, we can't underestimate the power of story, which is why HeCast is such an important component of He Changed It. You know, if you were to talk to 20-something-year-old you and show him a movie of the story of what you are going to experience and what's going to become the good and the bad, that's the thing that gets through to people. And today, yeah, may today's conversation be a catalyst to helping somebody out there figure out their next chapter or two, and it's going to be a positive one moving in the direction that they want to go into, putting that right label on them that they want to put onto them. May this conversation be that.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to do a really quick outro. Stay on here so we can say our goodbye privately.
Yeah.
Tyler is amazing. And, you know, and how is he amazing? Because he's gone through some stuff, but he's willing to talk about it and willing to share it with people. And that's, all of us have that in us. We all have amazingness in us. What label do you want to put on yourself is a powerful question. It's one that I'm going to be thinking about the rest of the day. I'm going to be thinking about, what label do I want to have on myself? And then it's just a matter of making a decision to start living that. I think it's such a powerful testament. And I'm just so grateful that so many people are willing to come on this show and talk about this stuff. Tyler is just an amazing guy. Please go follow him and what he is doing, his journey, and wish him luck on his, you know what, by the time this thing airs, he'll be married already. So super, super cool. So if you haven't downloaded the app yet, what the heck are you waiting for? Go to hechangedit.com. And the links, the vision of the company is there, but also, you know, the links to the app, both Android and Apple, and download the app and watch the journey as to what this amazing movement is going to be. That has been another episode of HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. My name is Mike Chisholm. Go change something.